Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I'm your host, Raji Love. Yes, I am. I really am. I am. I promise you I am. And I am joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Raji Love.
How are you this morning?
I am wonderful this morning. How are you?
Well, darling, I've had better days and weekends, but you know what? This one is okay thus far. You know, it's just okay. It is. It really is. I'm like, you know what? Trying to get some stuff done, but it's just not happening the way that I wanted it to happen. And then it's like, oh, my. But then I got so much more to do the rest of the day after the show and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah. So, you know, I'm going to just try to enjoy as much of it as I can. Normally, I'd be introducing Miss Mahogany, but of course, yeah, she ain't here yet. I don't know if she's going to be here, but, you know, and of course, if y'all were, you know, anticipating a show yesterday, unfortunately, yeah, Blog Talk Radio, being as reliable as it can be, you know, yeah, they were having issues and they were working on some stuff as usual. So, of course, we were not able to do a show yesterday, unfortunately. But, you know, as they say, you know, we still try to come to, you know, give y'all what we can and do what we can and all that other kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm going to try to just do what I can today and give out some good birthday wishes. I know I may have missed a couple yesterday because that's just how it happens, especially since, you know, I wasn't able to get on the radio yesterday, but I'm going to do it today. That's what I'm going to do. So, Miss Kiki, I'm going to start with my birthday wishes, girl, which yesterday was a birthday for Mr. Charles McClendon. So I'm going to say happy belated birthday to you, Mr. McClendon, yes. Haven't spoke to this person in a conversation literally in over some kind of years. I don't know, but I don't know, you know, what's going on with them. Hopefully everything is still well with you, sir. But happy birthday to you nonetheless. I hope you had a great day with you and that your birthday was on a Saturday. I'm sure you did something or did not do something on purpose. You know, because sometimes it's just the best way to enjoy your birthdays, you know. Just don't do nothing. And now, coming up, oh, my goodness, so I go from Saturday and jump all the way down to the upcoming birthdays, which is Thursday. Well, actually, no, let me say happy birthday today. I'm sorry. I was about to scroll right on by, but, yes, my cousin, Sean Hollerman, his birthday is today of all days, July the 10th, turning the ripe old age of 26 years old. Wow. Wow, how the years have gone, you know? Yeah, you realize how old you get by seeing how old other people get. That's what I think, you know? Don't you think, Michelle?
Sure. Right?
You forget how old you are, but child, when you see how old somebody that you know younger than you turn, be like, damn, wait, how old am I again?
Okay.
Child. So, yes. Sean is turning 26 years old. Bless his heart. Now, coming up on Thursday, July the 14th, Mr. Marcus Paul James. Oh, my goodness. Bless his heart. He's, I don't know how old he's turning, so I'm not going to even guesstimate. Because I never knew him like that. But, you know, he's one of my favorite people to watch on YouTube when he posts his singing videos. And then I know he's also a performer on Broadway, and he was in Rent. And a couple of other things that I've seen him, you know, posted in and on YouTube. But he's a very, very good singer. I love his vocals. I do. Bless his heart. But his birthday is coming up on Thursday. I hope you enjoy. Also, Mr. Keith Hampton is coming up on Friday, July the 15th. Bless his heart. He's turning the ripe old age of 35 years old. And I'm like, yeah, he's coming straight out of the villa, accordingly, 6305. I remember it well. I do. But try to forget some of those days that I've actually experienced in the Villa Dames. Yes, I do. But you know what? Hey, we met some cool people along the way, didn't we? He shares his birthday with Mr. Justin Ruff. Mm-hmm. Don't know how old he's turning either, because he didn't put it on there, so I ain't going to get all in your business like that, Justin, but happy birthday to y'all anyway. Saturday, July the 16th. I'm going to just acknowledge that day because I'm going to leave that one up to the sister. So that's my birthday wishes for the week. Happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday, y'all.
Now, Miss Kiki, I ain't going to even ask because I know you do, so go on and give your birthday wish.
All right. Well, tomorrow is one of Morning Dew's very good friends, and I have come to love this young lady, and I'm going to consider her a very good person. Every time I have an issue or a problem or I need some legal help, she can always point you into the right direction. Her birthday is tomorrow, and that's Miss Kim Nguyen. Happy birthday, Kim.
All right. I don't know.
Next, I have learned to love this young lady. I actually hired her a few years ago, and I love her work ethic, and you know, for me, if you have a great work ethic, you will always, always be number one on my book. That's Miss Kiva Barrow Dillon. Her birthday is July 12th. She turns 33. Happy birthday, Kiva.
All right, now.
And Saturday, July 16th. Is my baby brother's birthday. Yes, Cameron. He got so many names on here. It's Cameron Jones. His birthday is July 16th. Cameron turns
30-something. Go on, say it, girl.
36. Happy birthday, Cameron. He turns 36 years old. Yes, honey. I know he's going to turn up because that's what he do. That's what he's known for. And then his birthday on a Saturday, too. Then my next birthday is my hairstylist. Yes, she got me together right. That's Miss Melanie Renee. Her birthday is July 16th, and she turns 43. And that's my birthday wishes for the week.
All righty then, and junk and stuff. All right, now. So 36 years old, girl. For some reason, I always thought y'all were like, well, all of y'all were like in steps about 2 or 3 years.
We all 3 years and 3 weeks apart exactly.
So wouldn't he be turning 35?
No. Wait. Yeah, he's turning 35. Oh, my God.
See, you trying to give people age, girl. See, don't do that.
Wait, the twins turn
38.
Oh, yeah. You're 35 then.
See? I'm not saying you got to start up and count backwards sometimes.
Right? I lie about my age so much, I don't know.
Okay. You done lost count.
That's right. I be forgetting.
Trying to give people age and junk. Yeah, that's a first. Yes. See, like, no matter how old they turn, I'm still 25.
That's right.
No, ma'am. Girl, now Miss Mahogany is still not with us, child. Please send her a text to see if she's even in the vicinity, child, or what.
I've been doing it. Get your ass from me, huh?
Yeah. And then going to try to talk about someone I almost apologized for not being there yesterday. No, you're still shut. You're shut. Blast. Yes. But anyhow, now, girl, now I said I'm going to just talk about some stuff today because I just feel like talking about some stuff because it's just how this week has been, child. And it's like, yeah, sometimes in order to get over some stuff through the week, you just got to get it off your chest. And I feel like today is a good day to just do that, especially, you know, considering all of the stuff that we just went through trying to get a show on this week, you know, I'm just saying. So, you know, first things first. Now, I'm going to put things out there that's just, like, basic stuff, but you know what? When it happens to you, it just, like, you know, it really makes you think sometimes, and you got to look deep into it. Now, when you're in a situation, right, and at first you may think that, okay, well, maybe it might just be you taking some stuff kind of the wrong way. But then when you start looking deeper into it and stuff, you start realizing, you know what, it might not be just me. Person might really be giving me what I thought they were giving me, but I just was trying not to take it as them giving me what they were trying to give me. So, yes, I encountered one of those situations, you know, through this week. But, you know, I thought it was stemming from, you know, the whole week. Because y'all know I have two jobs going right now because I still am trying to find something to get rid of one, you know. I'm going to say it like that, yes. And until that happens, I'm trying to, you know, just maintain and do what I can and just be positive and, you know, but sometimes it gets a bit stressful, especially when it's like the one job you're trying to get rid of is just driving a nail into the last nerve that you feel like you got, you know? So that was happening this past weekend, you know. That nail was just going further and further into that nerve, girl. And it's like, yeah, by the time I left that place, it kind of like the nail was just still on that nerve throughout the rest of the week. So little stuff was just happening that I was like, you know what? You know, I didn't want to take it as it, you know, because I'm like, I know I'm already feeling some kind of way from the job before, but I was like, you know, am I just being a little bit too sensitive right now because, you know, I'm already just at that point and maybe just reading too much into some stuff. But then it's like as I was trying to, you know, coast myself out of that, I just kept seeing other stuff happening and still hearing just a little bit of stuff like, you know, comments are being made and, you know, things are still just not being done. And then it's like, okay, you start seeing how a person is just like, well, they really just have so much of this going on. But then it's like when you listen to what it is they got going on, it's like, okay, but you already been doing that. You should have a handle on that, you know, at some point. Like, why is it still overwhelming you kind of thing, you know? So then it kind of settled into me, no, it's not just me, it's you, you know? It's not just me, it's you kind of thing. But, you know, how do you, well, you don't really, I'm not trying to have that conversation because it's like it really would be pointless at this point. But at the same time, it's like I'm trying to be mindful of how I approach things. And so I've really been more or less just like, I'm going to say what you would call stepping up and just doing things on my own without really involving that other person. But at the same time, I don't want to come across as, you know, like, what's the word? Not rude, but like, what do you need? What? You know, kind of situation.
Like over aggressive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to be over-aggressive with it, but at the same time, you keep giving it to me that I just can't come to you for stuff or I just can't really get anything truly out of you. So, okay. That's kind of what I...
So at this point, my suggestion is try it your way. Finagle with it, because I'm going to tell you, if it's something dealing with a computer, you can probably figure it out. If it's something dealing with something that has to go on, sometimes just sit back and get the most practical way of kind of doing it and do it. And then after you do it, then you can, you know, reference something else that was done similar to it. And go for it like that. And if you still kind of question yourself, kind of put it to the side for when people actually come to you with something else, and you might tell them what you actually did and see if it's correct or not. Because usually you can kind of walk yourself through certain things. And when you have somebody that you work with, after asking questions and they really don't want to help, sometimes you got to, you know, put on your grown folks' panties, like my grandma say, and pretty much just get it how you live. And when they realize, you know what, this person becoming too self-sufficient without me, then, of course, they are going to be a little more side-eyeing and wanting to know exactly what you're doing. When you don't need a person, they want to know why. Well, when you always feel like you, you know, always have to come to them for certain things, they are really arrogant, and you try not to be aggressive and bombard them with things, and you, especially if they don't want to be there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you just have to, you know, say, you know, enough is enough. Let me take control. Since, you know, you want to be kind of aggressive. I mean, you don't want to be, you don't want them to see that you're aggressive, so you don't have to do it to show them. You just do it in your own way, and when they realize, dang, this person not running to me, and this person not, you know, this person is not overbearing, you know, being overbearing to me, because you don't have to. You can just do it your way, you know. And but when the questions stop, they'll start asking.
Mm-hmm. And you know one thing that I did realize, though, that the mentality that I have is coming from a totally different industry. And I have to keep trying to remind myself that I got to pace myself differently with the way that things go. Because it's like I'm used to, like you say, when we had our conversations, that it's like I'm used to dealing with things in this manner because that's what we did in this industry. But then now you're in a different industry. They do things a lot differently, so it's not going to always make sense to handle it the way that you've been handling it because of the industry that you were in. And it's like I keep trying to make sense of it all, but with that same mentality, and I have to stop doing that. I do. I know I do. But it's kind of hard to do that.
Because it is the same thing.
It's also the fact that I'm still in that industry that I'm trying to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard because it's very parallel with the stuff that we're doing, but at the same time, it's just like I'm still doing the industry itself that I'm actually with that mentality. And it's like you're working with another person who truly does not have that mentality at all, it makes it more difficult for me because I'm like, I have to keep realizing that that person does not have that mentality. Even though in this industry it seems like that mentality would be a good thing to have, but she just does not have it, you know? So I can't expect her to have that mentality because I don't think she's ever worked in the industry that I'm used to, you know? So, but you would think in this industry at some point that it would come to her that, well, maybe this would be a little bit more efficient, but it's just not, you know? It's just not. So I'm like, I'm really like, you know what? I have to just let it go and just basically, like I said, just know that no matter what's going on, I can't just really just look at her for any kind of guidance because this is still, you know, even though it's a parallel industry, the industry itself is still different and it's like a stuff that I just don't know because I've never done it before. And so when new stuff comes up, it's like even with the industry that I'm in, you know, there's stuff in the hotel industry, girl, that happens every day that you just got to be quick to think on your feet. But it comes from the 16 to 17 years experience that you just know, even if it's something new, you still know how to really navigate your way through it Or at the very least, just call the general manager and they'll tell you what, well, you know what, this is what we should do, you know, kind of thing, and it still will get done.
I guess I'm more the aggressor when it comes to workplace. Again, I have worked for different companies, and I just use the common knowledge of I have to think back to when I did, because, again, I started out working when I was 16 years old at Little Caesar's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, places like that you really don't have is really, you know, kind of like repetitive. But actually, it's not, because you do have to think of everything that you do. Some of my people, when I had only been there a week, they'll come in and say, be creative. This is what I usually like on my pizza, but I want something a little different today. And, you know, you have to be a little creative. When customers got irate, you had to be a little more creative on how fast you make their pizza.
Right, right.
And I got my pizzas down to making them in 6 minutes, going through the oven and everything, just to make my customers happy. So you tend to, and I guess that experience showed me that at the end of the day, the bottom line comes from your customers. Even though you don't work with them firsthand, I carried that on to in the corporate office, even though I don't see my customers. Even though sometimes my customers are actually the company that I'm working for, they're clientele. Even when I worked in accounting, like everything that is done is really a replica of the company. So even if somebody accidentally called my accounting desk and wanted to know about where the sales part is, I just took that extra step in. I might have not known who their person that they needed to talk to, but I would figure it out. I wouldn't have them to, you know, just transfer them back to the operator. I would figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people, it's easier just to, you know, transfer their call to zero.
Right.
But because of the industry I came in, it's all about helping people. When it came to doing my accounting work, I knew that that was my job. But even if they called about doing something else, it was at the point where, you know, you just have to step out of the point of relying on people and just make sure that you are comfortable and your decision makes sense to you. And anything you do, that's any job, anyway, and I have worked in a lot of industries. And again, a computer, you can learn a computer. But the actual job, you use what makes more sense. And sometimes people do things a little quirky and a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, things are common sense. If you actually have to pay somebody and you go and pay them, and say you're doing accounts payable, and you go to pay them, and maybe the company has where their budget is, you only pay a certain amount. You don't pay the whole thing. But if nobody ever tells you you pay this bill, they're going to say, well, they see that you paid the full bill. Then they're going to come explain. But they can't jump on you because nobody never told you. So if you want me to pay it a certain way, you need to give me the guidelines plan. But what I'm going to do, if you don't give me the budget and let me see what is in the budget and how you want me to pay it, I'm going to just pay it.
Right.
So I just do that. First of all, I'm not wrong for paying that way because it is a bill that needs to be paid. Now, I'm not going to pay the past due amount because I'm going to assume that the person before me paid it. I'm going to pay the actual amount for that month, but I'm going to assume that you want this bill paid because you brought it to me and put it on my desk, and that's my job. Now, if you have a different way of how you want to do it, when you come to me, you will explain. But in the aspect of you not explaining, I'm going to do my job.
Right. At least do what you know to do.
Exactly. A check comes in, and it has, okay, you have to put it in a receivable account. I'm going to put it in the receivable account from where it came from and match the invoice that it actually came in from. However, if it is made out for too much money, they will get a credit on their account. Now, if they pay for certain, and they didn't specify different accounts that they're paying for, that's where I'm going to post it. So if somebody else comes to me and be like, oh, well, they're supposed to pay for this and this and this person. Well, if you didn't give me that instructions before I did it, then you're going to have to fix it. But if you did give me these instructions, then I can move on. But I'm going to continue to do my job the way that my job describes itself.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do it per what you, oh, this is the way my company does it. If you haven't given me your company guidelines, I can only go by what my job description says.
Uh-huh.
Now, in certain cases, some people don't have job descriptions. So you pretty much go on with the flow of everything.
And that's what...
But when you go,
right.
Right, but when you with the flow of everything, and they capture and they give you, you notice when they start giving you certain things as your job duty.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you look at as your
thing. But you know what I find, that the stuff that I've been given as a duty to just basically take care of, I'm good with basically working around that. But when I start asking questions, it's because of the fact that it's something that I'm not normally the one that actually does. And, of course, if it's something that I don't normally do, then, it's again, it's in an industry that I'm not familiar with. So I have to ask questions because in this particular industry, it's like you can't give wrong information to a tenant because everything that's going through is in a lease. And we all know that leases are legal, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guidelines. And it's like for me, I'm not the property manager, and I'm not the person that's assisting the property manager. So a lot of the stuff that I've been given as a duty to do does not involve actually processing of a lease or doing anything like that. That's done at a corporate for the most part. But to go through a lease and read through the lease to see exactly what everybody's lease entails was never something that I was told that I should really start doing. But apparently it's something that I would probably need to start doing just for the sake of not having to go to the person that should have been doing this already to ask a question about it, you know? Because it's like for me to go through an actual lease, which we all know that leases come in different shapes and sizes. They are like 9 to 10 to 12 to 30 and 60 pages at some point, depending on how long, you know, they've been with the leasing company. And to figure out exactly what it is that you need to know, it's going to take some time, especially for a person who's not used to reading through leases, because that's never been something that I've done before.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're coming from an industry the way you're used to having to find things out, like right then, right there, somebody's on hold because they need to know this, going through a 60-page lease is not something that you're going to have to put somebody on hold. But that's the thing that you're going to have to be like, well, we're going to have to try to look through this, and we're going to have to get back to you kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, but in the position that I am in, it's like it's one of those things to where it's like, okay, yeah, I don't have a position here, but yet I feel like now it's coming down to me to actually be responsible for a lot more stuff than truly what I should be at this moment. But I'm not going to be the one to be like, well, I'm just not doing it, you know, because that's never been to do something, I'm going to try my best to, you know, figure out how to do it. If I have to ask a question, I should be able to ask questions without getting the attitude, well, I don't have the time to talk about this because I got this to do, I got that to do, I got this question to answer. I'm like, really? Really?
Hmm.
But yet, it's one of those things where it's like you've been in this industry for how long and you just don't know offhand, because I'm not asking you specifics. I'm just asking you, where do you post the payment to? Because I don't know. I don't deal with the payments. That's what you do every day, all day. You deal with processing invoices, processing these things that's coming through. So you should be able to just say, well, you go to here to do that, or they send it to there to do that. That's all you should be able to say. That's all you need to say. but you're giving me all the extra. So now it's like, okay, now I got to go and look up myself through a system that I don't work on now to try to figure out where do they actually submit this payment. So I don't have to ask you this no more. I don't have to ask you nothing because that's what I'm getting. So it's like, that's where I find myself. It's like, yeah, I have not gotten an actual position, and that's why I keep saying this would be a lot easier to deal with when you feel like you're secure in what you're doing, you know?
Right, right.
Because it's like you would hate to go through all of this stuff, which I still feel like, you know, even going through it, whether it works out or not, it's still a learning experience for me. But it's hard to say where you have this experience when you don't have the name of a company to back that up, you know? Because essentially, I can't go and put Ackerman and Company as a place of work on my resume, you know?
Right.
So now you got to finagle of how you actually can put this experience into what, you know, in your arsenal of what you've done in your history by applying it to other places that you actually have worked. And it's like,
right.
Yeah, at this point, I'm learning a lot, but at the end of the day, if it flourishes to be something, you know, if it flourishes into an actual job, it's definitely beneficial, but then it's still one of those things where it's like you're still not being told anything that is going to be definite and permanent or whatever. So now I'm at the point of where I'm basically doing a whole lot with no guarantees and just basically have to be all in, even though I'm not all in, you know?
But, Roger Love, let's be honest with you, especially coming from a state that is where I'm from, in Louisiana, we are at will state.
Mm-hmm.
And most companies, all you have to do is pretty much give three write-ups, and no one is guaranteed anything. So it's all about the experiences that you take in the positions that you're in. Because if you always look for, oh, it got to say that I'm here, and it got to say that, you know, this is final. Nobody's job is final. Nobody's job is promised. So everybody is pretty much on a temporary basis. Because the companies today, in these day and ages, like a girl that I knew that I used to work with, she worked at our company for 27 years. She only had 3 years before she retired, Miss Linda. And Linda, she went to work one morning, and when she got to work, they had a chain link fence around their job, and it had a padlock. And they had a note written in front, which the company they thought was a multi-million-dollar company.
Hold it.
Well, actually, it was in the oil field. So when the oil dropped, they didn't, Monday morning when they went to work, they didn't know that the owner of the company had left. The CEO, well, it was actually the CEO of the company, and he locked it up. And that Monday morning she got up, like, going regular to work. She had only 3 years before she retired. And all of the employees was in the parking lot, nobody knew anything. Some supervisors were contacted and was told what their severance, they were going to get a severance, but everybody else, they were pretty much not informed of anything, and the gates were closed. So they all were standing out there, and again, this lady had started, she was fairly young because she had started her working career at the age of 17 at this company. So for her, it was okay for her to come back and start working at another job, you know, to build up her retirement. But she was only 3 years away from her retirement.
Right.
And, you know, she's out there, and there's a lot of older people out there that was like, what are we going to do? Like, how nobody gets to tell us? And to leave work on Friday, and like she said, a lot of their belongings and everything was still locked up in this office. Because she did the plant, she used to decorate a lot. And her office, she said, was totally decorated with her coffee mugs and everything. and they would not let them get the, all that stuff was seized. They could not get anything.
Oh my!
And so you know, a lot of people were hurt about that because they had pictures and things like that. Now she said, like maybe 6 months later, they were contacted to come get their personal belongings out of there. Once the computers and everything was moved. But it was just like, you know, in that 6 month span, a lot of them had to find jobs, no severance, you know, so nobody's promised a job. So you have to take the knowledge that you learn and put it all in, because at this point, as of the day you walk in there, it's your permanent job. To the day that they tell you they no longer need you, is your non-permanent job. And that's with any job, because you can walk in today and your boss can say, you know what, this company is folded. You know what I mean? And that's the bad thing about corporate America. It's like you either there and they can walk in, and at any point the CEO can say, you know what, we're belly up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and see, and I understand that. And when I say guarantee, I'm not talking about anything being guaranteed, like no matter what happens in life, you know, this is going to be this, whatever. That's not what I mean when I say that. I'm speaking on a term of saying that at least this job is here, and it's like I have my name on it. That's what I mean by guaranteed.
Well, not even guaranteed, but just a
position. At least my name is on it, and
you have a position. You have a position. You go there.
No, actually, I have a.
You have one when you walk in there every day. You have a position.
I have a temporary position because it's not something that's something.
Everything is temporary
until they hire me. They have not hired me.
Temporary. You're missing it.
No, you're missing what I'm saying, girl. You're taking what I'm saying out of context. Okay, I'm not saying that the job itself. I'm saying that I do not work for the place that I actually go to.
Everything is temporary. I know exactly what you're saying.
If I work for them.
You're not hearing me.
No, I'm hearing what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that that's a totally different point than what I'm making. I'm not saying that the job itself is going to be something that's just guaranteed to be there no matter what. That's not what I mean by when I say, well, it's a temporary.
I know what you mean, Rajila. We had this conversation many times.
Exactly, but I'm saying, looking at it even in life, I'm not looking at it like, well, if I get this job, then that job is going to be just there, so I can guarantee that it's going. That's not.
I know what you're saying, but if you keep looking at it like that,
I'm looking at it. Listen, I'm looking at it from the perspective of, like I said, I can't claim this position that I'm doing right now. Because, A, I have not even been given a position of what I'm actually doing.
You do have one. You go every day.
No, listen. I go to this place, and I do whatever it is that they need me to do. That's not a position title. I don't have no title here. What I have is saying that I'm working through a temp agency. That's not a title that you can put on your resume. You can't back that up with your resume. You can't add that to your resume because it's not going to make anybody that's looking at your resume. Well, what did you do at the temp agency?
Yes, you can. You put down what it is.
What
you
can say is you worked through a temp agency and you've done different things while you were.
You put down administrative assistant and you list everything that you have done.
As a temp.
As an administrative assistant. Yes.
What company?
Yes.
Through the temp agency.
Correct.
Looking at Ackerman
that
and
your company.
They're not looking at Hooters. They're not looking at Guardian Pharmacy.
You can list those as well on your resume.
You can list them as places that you've done assisting. Well,
that's a lie. That's a lie. Who told you that?
How are they going to? These people are not going to be able to go to Guardian Pharmacy and say, well, did Raji Love work at your company? Because they have people through an agency.
Yes, they do, Raji Love. Yes. Yes, they do. They can reference you. Yes, they can. I know because half of them on my reference list. Yes.
You've worked for those people. Well, you did say you were still through the temp agency.
Yes, for years. Yes.
Well, until I get to that point, even being a year, how about that? I'm like, girl, do
and
you
say resume? You don't have to, Roger. You love it. Your resume is your experiences.
My resume
of the things
is
that you have done.
Yes, but I'm
okay?
Like, okay.
Your resume speaks. Hold on. Can you let me finish, please?
Who do
your
I
resume
put down?
Speaks. Hold on. Your resume speaks on what you have knowledge of doing. It's not about your job title. It's about what you have been doing. Why, when a person looks up your resume, a person is not looking for the name of a company. The person is looking for the things that you can actually do. And that's what people get caught up at. People get caught up with names. A name don't mean nothing because you could be sweeping a floor. What they're looking for is what you are accountable of doing. What can they give you to do when they look for you to get a job? That's why a lot of agencies send out people's resumes, because they mark up everything the person has actually done. As simple as answering a telephone, because some people do not have a phone voice to answer a telephone. People look for that. Some people even look for someone that has excellent writing skills, because they want somebody to make sure that things are written properly. Some people just want somebody that can add and subtract, and they're looking for that. Some people just looking for someone that is organized. They're looking for that. These things are key things that people are looking at in corporate America. They don't care about a damn name of a company, because that company could be there today and gone tomorrow. So when I list my agencies that I work for, I list them as well as the places that I have worked for. And then on my references, I take one person that actually worked there in the office that they work and put their name down there with their information. So when the person calls them as a reference, then they know that I actually worked there. The person can say, yeah, she was only a temp here for a week, but she was very good at what she did. Yes. Oh, yes, I know her. She was very sweet. Because that's what the reference page is for. Now, the jobs will be listed on the front, yes, but my company will be at the very top of it, because that's the agency that actually hired me. But every job is temping. If you take it as, oh, well, I ain't got no job here, so I'm going to just tiptoe. No, you ain't going to never get no job there. You take what you want, and you go by it the way that you look at it, because every job that you walk in, you can be, your name could be on the door one day, and the door could be stripped off the next. If you take it that way, it's how you approach a situation.
And on that note, join us next week. Oh, my, because yeah, you just reamed it, girl. You did. But I'm like, you know what? I understand what you're saying. Yes, I do. I'm going to soak it in, and I'm going to just take it, because I'm like, again, you've been through this a lot longer than I have, and this is still all stuff that's just, it's all just a learning experience for me, because true enough, it's been a year now that I've actually been applied, should I say, at a temp agency, but I have not actually been working for the temp agency for the whole year. But, again, that's to me why I still keep looking at it like this. It's like you've been assigned after assigned after assigned after assigned, and for 2 year stretches, 1 year stretches. So, yeah, that would be your outlook. But for me, I'm like, yes, this is the longest that I've actually had an assignment, and this is only 3 months. So it's kind of hard to see that being able to be put on a resume. That's, I guess, that's where I'm looking at it at. Now, when you've been assigned somewhere for like a year or two or three, I'm like, yeah, okay, that I can understand having that outlook. I haven't had that yet. Let me.
I had a position. I was only assigned for a week. It's on my resume.
Yeah, but again, but you've already been still with the extensions on the other places that you've already done too. I'm like, yeah, every place that I've worked at has been shorter than at this point. Well, besides this place, every other place that I've worked at was about 3 weeks. Twice, you know, with Hooters, but that was still a total of 3 weeks.
All right.
So it's like, yeah, it's all just about that learning experience of going through stuff and seeing it, you know, come to fruition. But you know, this it's been a nice conversation on the radio, but we can still continue this after the fact. But join us next week, child, Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully Blog Talk Radio would not be acting stupid like they did this weekend. Hopefully Miss Mahogany would wake her ass up and be here to actually join the show again, unlike she did this weekend.
She just woke up.
I don't give a about it. But join us next week, y'all. Same bad time, same...